Thank you for staying with KHSU. It's Tuesday, October 23rd, and I'm Wendy Butler. Come with me on another Art Waves. The topic today is Eureka High School Players' staging of Arthur Miller's play, The Crucible. Performances continue this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 7:30 p.m. at the Eureka High Auditorium. My guests are Sylvie Benson, who performs the role of Elizabeth Proctor, Christian Barreto, who is John Proctor, Stasha Young, the understudy for all roles, as well as is in charge of the props, Catherine Hulper, who is Abigail Williams, and finally, Nan Voss, director of the Eureka High School Players. Okay, I think I will start with Nan, actually, and I'm going to go with what I said before we started recording, and that was, I was curious, The Crucible, Arthur Miller's The Crucible. Did you, for any reason, change or update the text of this play?
No, we have not updated the text at all. I think the text is beautiful, the way it was written. Arthur Miller has, there's a poetry to the dialect of the New Englanders, and I think he did so much research to write this play, and I think it would just be wrong to actually change the text.
You said that before we started recording, you said there were some lines or that were very long.
Oh yeah, they're very long speeches. We've taken some of the text out, little bits, in order to make it more manageable, but it is all still true to Arthur Miller's story.
All right, very good. So I want to talk about witches in a literal and also symbolic sense, because of course, The Crucible is a play, it's a fictionalized portrayal of the Salem witch trials, but it was written in 1953, and it was during the McCarthyism era. It was when people were being told to tell on other people if you feared they were communists, or if you feared they had another ideal or ideology than yourself. And so it was basically pitting people against one another, that era. And so The Crucible came out of this one. And now, Nan, well, let me ask you this, Nan, is that what were some of the reasons that you wanted to do this play with Eureka High Players?
We've spent the last few years really refining our comic skills at Eureka High. We were very good at comedy. We've done Shrek, we've done Seussical, we've done Taming of the Shrew, all sorts of really awesome comedies. And last year, in my AP language and composition class, we were reading The Crucible, and I hadn't read it for years. And the kids were really enjoying it, and we had so much to talk about. There were so many relevant issues. And their culminating assignment was to write a paper about witch hunts, modern day witch hunts, and incorporate The Crucible as well as discuss current witch hunts in our society. So out of this classroom experience, I realized, like, we need to do The Crucible. That should be our next fall show. It'd be great to try to tackle something actually dramatic that takes a lot more skill, a lot more nuance for the actors. What I say is that they're really acting. And I really wanted them to take a text that's a cultural milestone and bring it to life. And so often we talk about The Crucible in high schools, and I haven't seen it done in a really long time. And I thought that, well, now is probably the perfect time to bring it back.
So Christian, we were talking before we started, and you said that your first exposure to the Salem witch trials really has been through this play.
Yeah, it has. It's funny because I had no idea about the Salem Witch Trials until I auditioned for this play. And like, it's kind of cool how I'm like learning more about this play as I am acting in it. Like, I'm learning more and more as I go each day through rehearsals and reading through the script and watching the movie, reading the book. And I think it's amazing how like the story goes and like what happened back in the day, like when people would accuse other people of being witches and what they would do. And it's like, wow, that's amazing. Like, I had no idea they did that. And yeah, I think it's pretty cool.
And your character in this play is?
I'm playing as John Proctor.
You're playing John Proctor.
Mm-hmm.
And John Proctor, tell us about John. John Proctor is a farmer.
He is a very strict man.
Remind, because listeners might not remember the full text of the play, and I'm actually getting more refamiliarizing myself with it as well. The witches, of course, stand out, but so John Proctor, he's one of the main driving forces in this play, and he's going through a lot.
Yes, he is.
And what is he going through?
So he's going through the fact that he had cheated on his wife while she was sick during the winter. And he was hiding it from her, so she didn't know. But he's really going through a lot. He's dealing with the fact that he is a lecher and that he does not want his wife to know. But then she ends up knowing. And then through the end of it all, you know, he confesses. And leading to his confession, he felt ashamed for having to confess. So therefore leading to him being hanged.
And what is his relationship to the accusations in the community about the witches?
Well, he doesn't really believe in witches. I mean, he does admit that in the Bible that they do mention witches, and he will not deny it. But although he doesn't really believe in it, but he does think it's kind of bizarre how they have come to be and how him thinking that it was real.
Well, and then time, Nan, you can also jump in as well, being the director of this play, to help, flesh out John to a certain extent.
Yeah, so help you out, Christian.
Thank you.
Christian is doing a brilliant job, by the way. He has a heavy line load, and it's wonderful what he's accomplishing. John Proctor is the heart. He is the heart of the show, and he is an individualist in a community that is a theocracy, where if you are an individualist, you are going to be noticed soon because you are not doing what other people are doing. So not only does John cheat on his wife and tell her, because he really is an honest man and he feels bad about it. But also sometimes he plows on Sunday and he hasn't been to church in a while because he doesn't like the preacher. And he's making himself known by not being part of the society, which as soon as they start accusing people, he stands out because he is too much of an individual. He admits to not believing in witches. He's like, yeah, I guess they're okay. And then his wife, as soon as she gets accused by Abigail, because Abigail wants John back, his wife also, you see, is also an individualist, which is the beautiful thing about Elizabeth and John, that even though they have they're struggling in their relationship, obviously, they obviously have a very clear bond. They have very similar mentality, which is, they've lived together for a long time. They have children. It's obvious they're a very strong couple, regardless of their troubles. And I think that's something when people see the play or read the play for the first time, they get caught up in the cheating part and the lechery part. And that's not what it's about. It's actually about forgiveness. So Elizabeth has to forgive John.
And where's our Elizabeth?
Right over here.
Okay, so let's have you get closer to the microphone and tell me your name again.
Sylvie Benson.
And so Nan says this play is about forgiveness. Tell us more about Elizabeth and individualism. Tell us more about Elizabeth.
Elizabeth is an individualist, truly, but it's not really revealed until a bit later in the play. She's very prim, very proper. She's not particularly emotionally warm. She's a very cold woman, and that does come from her nature in some ways, but she's also very wounded by John Proctor's cheating on her. I think that she did know while she was sick that he was being non-faithful to her, and that has just been looming over her and made her even colder. But in the end, she really does have a true love for John Proctor, and she supports him by revealing that she is an individualist, I think.
Do they use the word individualist in this play?
Not once.
But you understand it just based on how these two primarily stand out or are not part of the mob mentality?
Yes, exactly.
I mean, the reason that's coming so easily to me is because mob mentality is not something that simply existed in the 1600s. It exists as strong, if not even stronger in some cases, today. And persecution of people who are individualists. Right. And I'm sure you talked about that when you were teaching the play in your classes. And Catherine Halper, you are, what is your character in this play?
I play Abigail Williams.
Okay. You are accusing Elizabeth of being a witch.
Yes.
do you tell us this? Does Abigail believe in witches, or is the agenda something totally different?
I think she is in desperate need of attention, and she wants to be the center of attention, and she realizes by accusing Elizabeth or anybody that she gets this attention, and she's seen as a real person, as someone who has an opinion. And I think in that society, women and young girls did not have that sort of say much of the time. So it gives her a voice and makes her important, and I think that's what she really wants.
To be heard.
To be heard.
And again, the idea of standing out.
Absolutely.
Apart from others. That's interesting. Now, all of the things that you have said, and let's go back over to Stasha. Let's go to Stasha.
Yes.
And Stasha, your character in this play, is you're the understudy for basically everyone.
Yes, if anybody falls sick, I guess it's too late to learn their lines, but I will come on stage with a script and I will read for them, and I will play that role. I will play any role.
And you also are the property master.
Yes.
Let's talk about props in this play, because I want to talk more about technical stuff, music too. But what is your responsibilities as the property individual in this play?
Well, for the past couple of years, as Nan has mentioned, we've been doing very different shows from this. So all my experience in props have been comedic. They haven't had to be as realistic. So this has been an entirely different task for me. I can't just make it out of cardboard as I have been known to do. I have to acquire props that work. I have to make it visually interesting without being absurd. I mean, the prop load for this show isn't very demanding. It's just very specific.
Well, what is an example of a couple of different props people are utilizing in this?
For example, there are many courtroom scenes, so depositions have to be made. So I have to get this old-fashioned looking paper, and I have to write out depositions that are not mentioned in the script. I just have to come up with them, and I have to do calligraphy. I have to formulate that. And there are also many disposable props. They have to be ripped in half every night. So I have on the prop table about 6 different copies of warrants for Elizabeth Proctor. So thanks for that, Proctor's character. That's great.
You're welcome.
Yeah. We also have some great families helping out. One of the people on tech, his family is very involved in these kinds of recreations of the past. So they have this realistic looking table that I get to use for the Proctor's house. And it's those kind of realistic things that are really interesting to me.
Is the set pretty simple?
Yes, it's very minimalistic. We've got pillars, we've got an altar, and that's about it.
Stasha Young. Also here are fellow students and performers Christian Barreto, Sylvie Benson, Catherine Halper, and their director, Nan Voss. The topic is Eureka High Players' production of Arthur Miller's The Crucible, which performs on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 7:30 p.m. at the Eureka High School Auditorium. Nan Voss responds first during this next part of our interview. I'm Wendy Butler, and you're listening to Art Waves on KHSU. How about music or effects or, audio effects like that? What are we doing?
I started talking to actually one of my 11th graders from last year, who's a senior now, who read the play with us. As soon as I started talking about doing The Crucible, she plays violin. And I asked her if she wanted to compose original music. So she spent all summer, and she showed up the first day of school with her music in hand that she had already composed. And she's like, will this be all right? Can I play this for you? It was wonderful. So, it's what she wants to do professionally. So I'm helping her with her first original composition, and she is also performing it during the show. So she plays all the transitional music in between scenes.
And it's all violin?
It's all just single violin, and yeah.
Who is this?
This is Grace Bugnacki. She is a rock star. She leads the orchestra at Eureka High School and wants to go on to be a conductor someday. And along with her, there is other sound on top that's atmospheric sound, so outdoor noises. We've added an overture to show the events before the play starts, to kind of flesh that out. So in the overture, we have the violin playing, and then we have this lovely kind of atmosphere, like town atmosphere stuff that goes into like this very dark evening in the forest, like with fire crackling. And the lights and the sound are just contributing so much to these additional moments of the show. It's really beautiful. And our lighting designer, who's also she's a student and she has wonderful ideas, has this cool uplighting effect that is used periodically, very cleverly in the show to emphasize certain emotional moments.
And who is that?
That's Jocelyn Albee.
Wonderful, wonderful to hear. Final question I want everybody to answer, if you would. I'm thinking about most powerful moments for you on stage. I want everybody to talk about, and powerful doesn't mean like it's easy. Powerful doesn't mean easy. Powerful means it engages you. You're struggling. I don't know. You might be struggling or not, but whoever wants to go first with this, but everybody needs to speak. Everybody needs to speak on this. I wanted to start with Christian, but I don't have to.
I'll go first if that's okay. Yeah. Okay.
All right. So Chris, and speak as much as you want.
Okay. All right. So I think the most powerful part in the play for me would be at the ending of Act 4, where John Proctor is coming out. He's letting out all his emotions. He's getting really deep into the fact that he's confessing a lie. Like, he never saw the devil, but he confesses that he did, and he's admitting that he did just so he could save his life and so that he could save other people's lives. But sadly, in the end, due to his ignorance, he doesn't want to confess any of it. He doesn't want to, how do I say it?
Admit it?
Yeah, he doesn't want to admit anything. He doesn't want his name showed upon the whole village that he has seen the devil, because he knows that it's a lie, but he's doing it to save his soul. And I think Act 4 is the most powerful part, because he's just getting into it, screaming, letting out all his emotions, saying that he cannot live without his name, knowing that he will die for what he's confessing to. And I believe that is the most powerful part for me in the play is Act 4.
How does that connect to the idea that he is such an individualist for you?
Well,
Is it kind of falling back into the crowd or pushing him even further outside?
No, it's not going further towards the crowd, no.
And feel free, if you think of something more you want to say, you can just say, I have something more to say. I'd like to add. Okay? So I can move on, and then we can come back, if you like.
I could add this.
Okay, go ahead.
Going back to what we were talking about, this whole experience for me learning more about this play as I go while I act. This is my first year acting. My first year acting, and like
first time on stage.
First time, well, I would say third time on stage, but like being the center of it, I guess. Yeah, it's the first time, and I think.
Well, what a role to play, the center of it.
Woo. Yeah. But I just wanted to point that out. Yeah, it's first year acting. And I think it's pretty cool that I was able to get this part, a really hard part. But I think it's amazing that I'm able to do this for my first time and learn from it.
Thank you very much. I'm going to go over to Sylvie. Mm-hmm. Same question for you. Most powerful part for you or parts for you thus far in preparing this?
I think Elizabeth's most powerful moment on stage is probably the moment that she decides to forgive John. Because her whole motto sort of throughout the play is, I cannot judge you, you should judge yourself for doing bad things. And then eventually she's like, I'm sorry, I have not been a good wife to you. I've been a cold wife, and I do love you, so I need to move on with this. Do what you will. I trust your judgment. I think that's the most powerful moment for Elizabeth. It shows the most personal growth, certainly.
Thank you. And Catherine, same question for you.
I think my most powerful moment for me would be Act 3. And there's a variety of moments that really my character feels, I start to feel, but I go crazy in Act 3. I start saying there's this bird and it's going to come down. It's this familiar of this other character, Mary Warren, and then it's going to attack me. And it's this genuine terror of not wanting to be hurt by the bird, but also just this complete lie, because I don't want to be found out. I just want to continue with my act. And at the very end, people are screaming and John Proctor is getting dragged away. And I'm just standing there with the rest of the quote unquote screaming girls and breathing really heavily. And I start to feel it in my personal character, not just with Abigail Williams, but it's a very intense moment.
Well, I lied. That wasn't the last question. I wanted one more thing for all of you. One more thing for all of you. And that is, why is a play like this, and Nan spoke about this to a certain extent, why is a play like this so important now, 2018? Why? Why is it important?
Can I speak on that, or
anybody? Catherine.
So absolutely, I think it's an incredibly relevant play, because we're always, I think as human beings, we're always looking for other people to blame, and we don't want to talk about our own problems, so we look at other people and say, you did it, and it's your fault, and we don't want to look to our own character to be the wrong ones. And I think with our current political situation in America, we like to go after other people to not be in trouble ourselves. And I don't think that's either political side, if you want to say that. I think it's all of us as a nation.
Thank you. Christian, you look like you want to say something.
I'll go for it too, yeah.
Go ahead.
I think this play is completely relevant to 2018, because due to what Catherine said about like how the United States is and what's going on, and you know, being us as humans, we make mistakes. And we do so much in our lives that we regret doing, but you know, there's many people in our lives that don't forgive us or whatever, and forgive us. And I believe forgiveness, to me, from this show, is relevant to this, to 2018, because I mean, as humans, we live to learn and we do mistakes, but at the end of it all, what makes us a better person is if we learn to forgive. And I totally think that is what's amazing about this play, how it could relate to now these days.
Mm-hmm. We look to other people, like foreign ideas and people, as the cause, when really the cause of our problems is homebrewed right here within us, within our society, within our nation. We need to scrutinize ourselves and look to see how we can improve ourselves before witch hunting other people.
Arthur Miller's The Crucible on stage this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, October 25th, 26th, and 27th. Showtime's at 7:30 p.m. at the Eureka High School Auditorium, presented by the Eureka High Players. Thank you to my guests, Eureka High Players Sylvie Benson, Catherine Holper, Christian Barreto, and Stasha Young, and their director, Nan Voss. That'll do it for today's Art Waves. Art Waves is broadcast each Tuesday at 1:30 p.m. It's available anytime at khsu.org. And podcasts of this program are available for download from iTunes. Until next time, I'm Wendy Butler. Thank you for listening.